podcast talking all things health technology and NHS IT. Welcome to Digital Health Unplugged. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Digital Health Unplugged for our Digital Health Networks, the fourth one now in our series. I'm your host, Jordan Soloff, news reporter at Digital Health, and today's episode is essentially a follow-on discussion from a great session at this year's Digital Health Rewired, which took place last month in Birmingham, a few weeks ago now, but time flies. The session was titled Community Nursing, Nursing in the Digital Age, which we're carrying over as our episode title today. That session explored how digital has been approached from different areas of the community, including adult social care, GP, district nursing and primary care. The audience heard from those who've worked together to achieve digital solutions across a stretched service. And to continue that discussion today, I have some great guests alongside me, some of which were in that session. As always, I'm going to let them introduce themselves first. So could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and kind of what you do? Starting with you, please, Helen.
Thank you so much. So I'm Helen Crowther. I'm the National Digital Primary Care Nurse Lead at NHS England. And my role is split between both primary care and also the CNIO team that is Helen Balston's CNIO team. I've been a nurse for 24 years. Majority of those years have been within primary care in particular. And I'm a very proud Queen's nurse and also a Florence Nightingale Digital Scholar from a couple of years ago.
Great. Thanks, Shanice.
Brilliant. Thanks, Jordan. So my name is Shanice Simons. I'm a CNIO at Solent. We're a community mental health trust based in Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, soon to be Hampshire and the Isle of Wight Healthcare Foundation Trust, as we'll be merging with some of our colleagues on the 1st of July. I've been a CNIO at that trust since 2021. My background is I'm a paediatric nurse, but I've spent many years working in the community, mainly in sexual health services and sexual assault referral centres. Like many people, I fell into digital. So I was their super user when they launched their new EPR, and then I led on bespoke EPR developments, and then heard of this new fascinating CNIO role and started knocking on the chief exec's door to say, we really need one of these in these trusts. So that's where I'm got here today.
Thanks. And lastly, Ian.
Thanks, Jordan. Pleasure to chat to you. So yeah, I'm Ian Bailey. I'm actually, I don't work in the NHS currently. I'm Senior Clinical Director for EMIS, which many people know in terms of healthcare IT, particularly in the primary care and community space. Similar to Helen, I've been a nurse for around about 24 years and a proud Queen's nurse for approximately 12 of those years as well. And prior to actually leaving the NHS, I was a CCIO for 2 years. And that was so far back that actually CNIOs, I don't think had even been thought of. So I championed the role as a CCIO, but as a very proud nurse. And it's absolutely fantastic now to see that CNIO posts are really taking off and increasing in numbers, hopefully, to continue going forwards. So thanks very much for inviting me along today.
Thanks. That's well said. Thanks all for joining on the podcast. I want to start with kind of looking back at that session at Rewired. Coming to you first, Helen, for the benefit of kind of listeners and those that may not have been able to join the community nursing session, could you kind of summarise the main points and what's next?
Yeah, great, thank you. So first of all, if you weren't there, maybe have a big think about how you get there next year, because the year before at Rewired, we very much we found that the space wasn't particularly well represented with those from nurses outside hospital. So thanks to Rewired team and members who championed really to ensure that voice was there. And I think first of all, it was nicely kicked off with a keynote that Helen Balston obviously released a lot of what her future plans were within the national team. And it was absolutely fantastic that Crystal Oldman from the Q&I again was part of that keynote. And I think that really brought in the value of that space and lined us up for our session in particular. The Q&I had a report that was published a couple of years ago now, which was Nursing in a Digital Age. So that was 2023 it came out. And what it sort of was looking at is basically the frustrations that lots of nurses within a community and primary care setting do face regarding digital. However, that what I would say is that there is a lot of positive things that happen. And in that session, we were very well represented from a nurse from social care, two nurses from general practice, and Shanez from a community perspective as well. And we highlighted really the great work that is happening within those areas, and also really supported with Helen Bolsden's mission and statements regarding the role, and how that we don't have very many CNIOs, so the Chief Nurse and Information Officers, within that space. Shanez being one of six, we think. So it's understanding about the role, understanding about the benefits, and also putting community and out of hospital on the roadmap, and saying to all of our wider colleagues, this is what we do. Because Crystal actually said that it makes up to about 50% of the nurses that are working in the NHS. So unless our voice is represented in this space, then how can we then support the agenda? Obviously, it's fantastic that Ian is here, because he was unable to make it on the day. So it's really important that we do hear from nurses and from a supplier organisation, because actually, when we look back of digital within primary care and community, it was actually way ahead of our secondary care colleagues. And we don't kind of talk about that. So it's actually back in Exeter in 1970 that we got our first clinical system of having computers in consultant rooms. We don't have the same level of investments in the big EPRs and even over the language that we use. So I would say that a lot of nurses within the sort of a community in a primary care setting, if you said, what EPR do you use? Then it's not a language that we would use. If you said, what clinical system are you using? That they would understand it. So it's again about making sure that we've got the language that's right, and that absolutely that we drive forward the work that was identified in the Nursing of a Digital Age, but into the celebration, the amazing work that's going on. And we can do that through a number of ways. We do have What Good Looks Like from a national perspective, and we are doing a refresh of that. So there's a new one that is about to come out. There is lots more of those opportunities. We've got growing networks. We have a Queen's Nurse digital network. And there's also the Digital Shared Decision Making Councils that are for all nurses from all specialities that are really driving this forward. And basing on what Shanez said about falling into this, is that this impacts on everybody. So it doesn't matter over, you know, where you are on your career journey, is that it's really important that we really stay involved and, you know, and understand the pressures and things like that as well.
Great. Thanks, Helen. Coming to you now, Shanez, it'd be good to kind of hear your thoughts. What kind of areas of the discussion in the session that really resonated with you, and what are your kind of key takeaways?
I think highlighting some of the points that Helen's just said, really, Jordan. So we've had embedded EPRs in our service for more than 10 years now. So we're getting to the point where we're sort of optimising and integrating other clinical systems into those. And it's really about how do we sell the benefits of what we're doing in community organisations. I think we cover a life course approach out in the community, and we have many specialist practitioners working in sort of different elements of the NHS. And what we don't do well enough is celebrate and share our learning and help our colleagues in acute organisations overcome some of the challenges that we've already overcome in the community. We've got a great opportunity to link up with social care and acute colleagues. And there is so much learning out there in terms of the networks and the blueprints that have already been shared. There's lots of assumptions, I think, about the capabilities of community staff and patients that are known to community hospitals around what they can and can't access in terms of digital technology. And actually what we find on a daily basis is our patients are far more capable than perhaps others think they are. So when we look at frail patients, we've got frail patients that are using virtual ward, remote monitoring technology. They're using apps and mobile phones to contact us to change the way that they would usually access less care, which is better for them because they're able to stay at home, be cared for in their own home environment. And we know that has a positive outcome on their long-term health and well-being. And also in terms of how we're able to support the nursing workforce in terms of workforce efficiency and the workforce gap there is at the moment. So I think we are in a really strong position. And actually what was really great about Rewired was to see that more than 50% of our audience were working in the community. So we are out there, but it's about how do we ensure that we're getting our voice heard and we're sharing the learning and we're continuing to build on those networks. So also being a Florence Scholar, it's great that we can access kind of the Florence Nightingale scholarships and the Digital Academy scholarships, but I think we need to do more to promote. So I didn't realise that there was a Queen's Nurse digital community. I'm not a Queen's Nurse. So it's great to know that there are other networks out there and available to us as community nurses.
Great, thanks. And Ian, obviously, we know that you couldn't make it to the session, but it'd be good to hear kind of your perspective on kind of this topic.
Yeah, thanks, John. It's unfortunate I very last minute couldn't attend the session, but everything that Helen and Shanez have said really resonates with me. And I think the key for me is the opportunity for clinicians to lead technology. And I think throughout my career in technology, and similar to Shanez, I fell into it as well as a super user of a newly purchased electronic health record system in the community. And very quickly developed a desire to make it work even more efficiently and more effectively for community, for all of our community nursing services. And what I found that because of the scale of the workforce in the community, it only takes a small number of people to have a real interest to create a real wave of enthusiasm across the workforce. And I found throughout my career that actually at times the technology almost becomes the blocker because you've got such an enthusiasm of and a scaled enthusiasm of clinicians and professionals wanting to use it, that the development of the technology can't keep up. And then actually it wanes the other way. And the suppliers such as the company that I work for really develop their systems and really engage with clinical ways of working in different environments, such as community. To Helen's point earlier, you know, technology in primary care has been around for many years, and in other ways, other parts of healthcare are catching up. But you get to a point there where the technology makes a massive leap, and then you're relying on the clinicians to catch up again. So it's a great opportunity to keep going that way. And dare I say it, and I dread to use the word, but the COVID pandemic shifted things forwards in both sides so much. So the technology companies really had to up their game to develop technology that really changed the way that people could work during COVID. And similarly, clinicians also had to work in very different ways. Lots of clinicians had to suddenly start doing remote working, which was completely new to them, and not necessarily so much in the community, but in other areas. And it really brought it on. But probably one of the biggest drivers that did come out of COVID was patients using technology. And as Shanez said now, we can no longer fairly and accurately say that there are pockets of patients that don't use technology. Patients' ability to use technology now has come on leaps and bounds in recent years. So we owe it to our patients as part of the best care that we can provide and to be at the top of our game in terms of how we use technology. And I'm an absolute firm believer that as technology develops, if it's clinically led and clinically driven, we will absolutely hit the sweet spot every time.
Thanks. Yeah, well said. We heard it Rewired, and you mentioned it today, Helen, that only around 6 CNIOs in community settings in England. Firstly, what's the benefit? And then how's the work from a national perspective going to support the increase?
Great question. So yes, we identified 6. There are probably others that are working in a similar kind of role, but maybe with different titles. But again, if we take ourselves back to the digital maturity assessment, which was more focused on our secondary care colleagues, but we know that there is very, very different job descriptions, banding from band 7 to band 9. Again, lots of differences out there, and that's based on a couple of years ago now. What we are seeing now is that investment is really being put out there, really. So the fact that Crystal and Helen were on stage as part of that keynote made sure that we do have that seat at the table, I think, from that other perspective. I think that it was very much identified based on the stats of what were said earlier, is that we need this. And what Ian said about making sure that we are clinically led, nurses, midwives are making up such a huge impact, especially in the community space, that if it's not driven forward by those senior leaders in that space, then we're not really serving our patients the best way or our staff that we're working with. We are seeing for the first time things like a new market entrant. So you know, we know that there's new technologies that are coming in there. We know that, again, with what good looks like and the benefits that have happened with surrounding those 7 success measures of the technology that's happening there. And we need a senior member of staff to be able to drive that forward. So it's about ICBs, it's about community organisations really understanding the value of those positions and what it means, which, again, is only done by demonstrating and getting it out there. So having blueprints, joining networks, having sessions like this, that if I was a nurse who's listening to this this podcast today, I'd be saying, who is that senior leader within the organization, and how do I reach out? And if there isn't, then maybe start asking the questions of why not and how that we can develop it. So from a national perspective, I think that, again, very much driven forward. Helen Bolsden is there as our CNIO for all nurses, no matter where you work. And again, from a community and a primary care perspective, I'm certainly driving that agenda forward. Plus now having the investment from Crystal, who, again, after that session, she is really interested in this. So I think it's quite an exciting place to be, really.
Absolutely, yeah. Shanez or Ian, anything to add there on the kind of national perspective to support the increase?
Yeah, I'd agree with Helen, actually. I'm really excited after hearing both Helen and Crystal at Rewired, and the fact that there is such a significant shift in the emphasis that we're now placing on community CNIOs or those in other digital leadership roles. I think it's really important from a national point of view that we are engaged in any sort of policy development, and we support the drive of that, moving it forward, and also how we integrate better emphasis around sort of digital technology and the importance of it in the undergraduate training program and postgrad training programs. Again, quite a lot of that focuses on the benefits in acute organizations, but it's really about covering the whole span of healthcare. So yeah, really excited.
Yeah, I think I'd add to that. And Helen touched just very briefly there on ICBs and ICSs. And I think integrated care systems are also an absolutely fabulous lever to really bring up the opportunity for clinicians in a shared collective geographical way to use technology. So we've got a real opportunity where we've got, say, technology that's maybe further progressed in primary care than it is in community, or different elements from an acute, to start to really collectively work together. And I think one of the biggest challenges that people consider straight away then is, well, the technology doesn't necessarily interoperate, it doesn't work together, and so on. And actually, that's becoming the less of a barrier now. So there's huge drives from NHS England and so on to really have technology interoperating in a way that meets the needs of a shared collective workforce, such as across an ICS. But actually, it's bigger than that for us. It's as nurses and as therapists and other health professionals across the community. Again, back to my earlier point of the scale, the technology is not necessarily the obstacle. The adoption of technology in digital ways in providing care is something that we can and absolutely should do. And when we get our heads around that as individual and collective clinicians, actually, it doesn't really matter what systems we use. It doesn't matter whether we have to use multiple different systems as part of providing care. It's just the fact that digital is part of the way that we work now. And I think, you know, over the last 10, 20 years or so, in other parts of our lives, digital has just become second nature now. So banking 10 years ago is so different to it is now. And, you know, 10, 15 years ago, when the likes of more digital banking was introduced, we all pushed against it. We weren't comfortable with it. We found it difficult because it's not about the technology. It's about developing different ways of working and different ways of operating. So I think we have an opportunity, irrespective of the systems and how the technology works, to collectively consider now that digital is absolutely part of how we work, and it will become more so going forwards. So that culture shift created by scales of the size of community workforces is an absolute golden opportunity to embrace it and move forwards. And I think with the likes of ICS is working collectively, we have a great lever for that to happen right across, irrespective of organisation or professional type.
Yeah, absolutely. Helen?
And just on that as well, I think that it's recognising about the workforce of who we all are. So we've got four generations of nurses who are working across the system as well. And it's finding that what is, whereabouts are you on that journey? And I think that can sometimes be quite scary. And just to say that this is not scary, this is about embedding it into our normal day and how that we can make sure that we've got the tools, resources and skills. And that is, again, the value of having somebody within an organisation in that senior level to be able to support everybody on that. So it's kind of taken the scariness out of all of this as well.
Do you think nurses in sessions like the community know about digital nursing careers and the CNI role? And if not, what can we do to kind of locally increase the awareness and attract them to those career paths if they don't really know about it? Maybe it comes to you first, Shanez.
So, no, in general, I don't think many of them do. I think I'd agree with Helen in that there's probably many people working in digital roles that don't necessarily see themselves as being on a digital career path. So as Helen's also mentioned, and Ian, doing things like this, the podcast, the networks, greater publicity at things like Rewired is only going to elevate the benefits and the role within a community nursing environment. So locally, there's loads of opportunities. So I know that we're working with our local universities to continue to build some individual modules around sort of digital technology and innovation and digital health leadership. So I think it's about us investing locally and continuing to build on the networks that we've already got to increase the visibility of digital nursing. And I think moving away from thinking of moving into a digital field means that you're losing clinical skills. Actually, you're increasing skills, but just in a different way. So I still work clinically, and I think that's great to be able to be in touch with the front line. But I think nurses sometimes worry about moving and losing patient contact. But I think I've probably had more patient contact since I've been in a digital role than perhaps I did when I was a face-to-face digital nurse.
Yeah. Ian, anything to add, do you think, on what more we can do locally to increase the awareness, attract people to digital career paths?
So I there's two points, one from Helen and one from Shanez, that really resonate with me. So the first point around Helen's mention of the four generations, and I absolutely don't believe that we can say now that, you know, it's a specific older generation that don't use technology. I think there's pockets throughout. But the absolute success of that four generations across the workforce is there is a collective ability to help and support each other. So when we get that nursing leadership, as Shanez has just been talking about, that's one way of creating that groundswell within the greater workforce to help everyone else. So I think we've absolutely got all of the success points here. We just need to spend some time joining them up. And the second point that Shanez has just described is around how do we create the skill set within the future workforce? And in my role as well with the company that I work for, we've been doing a significant number of different pieces of work with various universities across the country, and bringing electronic systems into the curriculum and actually enabling undergraduates and indeed postgraduate students to actually hands-on as part of their various modules and have hands-on with the system, so that the use of digital systems integrates completely with not only the educational curriculum, but the ways of working as in that safe space of a learning environment. So I think in that respect, we will get to a point even more so going forward. And I'm not talking in the far distance either, Jordan. When we see how much digital roles have come on over the last few years, it will only continue at such a pace. And certainly with the likes of all of the opportunities and the support networks that we've talked about today, digital will just become part of. And I think at that point, when it is embedded completely, the opportunities for the likes of CNIO roles will become even more so. And where they're not in place, people will have, you know, a real challenge as to why they're not, and we'll push that forward even more. So I think we're almost there in terms of that tipping point of it just becoming something that's expected in the same way as we have clinical specialties now.
Yeah. Helen, anything to add there?
I think one of our challenges that that I think about a lot is that we do speak to the same audience. Okay, so what is drawing people again to this podcast today, or what is drawing people to go to Rewired? And I think that what we need to do is that, again, it's think about being curious and think about, again, how do we get those messages out, because this impacts on everybody. So unless that you know, then you're not informed and you're not part of those discussions. And I think that some of the points that were raised actually within the, you know, the digital age report more looks at things like the tech and about the frustrations over logins and Wi-Fi issues, rather than thinking about the wider picture of what the digital agenda looks like and how that this is again embedded into everything that we do. But it's finding the little bit of the golden thread that you are maybe interested in, or, you know, thinking of the power of the data, or thinking about AI, or thinking about actually how do I just make my job a lot smarter. And again, I think that we are seeing great investment in our pre-reg, but I think that what we've got a little bit of a responsibility to do within everyone is make sure that we talk about it and we actually make sure that, again, our language is right. But how does this impact on everyone, and how do we get everybody on board?
Yeah. Focusing now on networks, what are the benefits of digital nursing networks, and how do those in the sector go about finding a network that's right for them?
I mean, listening to this podcast and the links through the digital advisory panel, there's many networks out there for you. And what I would say is, I think the digital nursing community is a really supportive community. So when I first came into post, I still am the only digital nursing clinician within my organisation. It can be a really lonely place, but actually I found the digital nursing networks a source of mentorship. It gives me a safe space to share best practice, to talk about lessons learned, to discuss kind of new up and coming innovations that I might be working in within the organization, and to get over some of those tricky kind of knotty hurdles that I've got no one necessarily to talk to directly within my own organization. I mean, social media is a great place to start, isn't it? Twitter or X as it's now known, and accessing the CNIO digital panel on there. All of our colleagues would share all their knowledge of all the networks that they've already got. Just reach out, you know, that is the biggest thing. Hand up, reach out, talk to someone, and they will welcome you with open arms into any of the networks that they know about. And they really have been an invaluable source, particularly for me in my role.
That's great. Yeah. Ian, anything to add on how people find the right network?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess because there now are so many networks, there's something for everybody. We're all different, right? We're all attracted in different ways to different things. And the real beauty of the number of networks now is there's something for everybody, whether it be, you know, suiting the way of working or your use of social media, as Shanez has just said. But the one thing that I absolutely agree with is the minute you reach out, you get so much response. They're so supportive. And Shanez is right. We can feel, even now at times, feel quite isolated in some of the roles that we work in. But the minute you reach out, that just disappears, and people are so willing to help. And I think as well, irrespective of the variations in NHS organisations at the moment across the whole landscape, actually the challenges that those organisations have, from, you know, frontline patient care up to strategy, they're not too dissimilar across the country. And so actually by reaching out, something that seems quite insurmountable to you as a problem, suddenly you find that either others have similar experiences or shown the same problems, or indeed others have found solutions to it and are really willing to share their experiences and share best practice. So it suddenly becomes You're no longer lonely, you're no longer isolated, you suddenly have an absolute support network and mechanism that that helps you, lead your day job even more efficiently. So absolutely, it's a no-brainer. Reach out to one of them and it opens so many doors.
Well said. Yeah, Helen, anything to add there on the networks and how people find the right one?
So I think, again, it you sort of have to trial, almost a bit like finding your own tribe, if you like. And at different points of career and knowledge and experience, specialities, and how that breaks off as well, because it can get a little bit too much. But if you are speaking to about a community issue, then you want to speak to community nurses who are also having the same barriers and challenges. But on a national perspective, we've obviously got our CNI Your Futures platform. That is a great opportunity to know what's going on from a national perspective. Like I've mentioned, we've got the digital shared decision-making councils. And as a result of that council in particular that was set up at the height of the pandemic, as an ask from Ruth May of Learning Through COVID, really fell in nicely with Natasha Phillips' strategy at the time of education, leadership, practice and research, and really developed the fact that we didn't have a career pathway for those coming into the digital speciality. So almost that group, we've now got a blueprint, we've now got 7 regional shared decision-making councils. And again, that's a range of specialities and interests that meet in once a month over Teams. Again, really driving forward that local, regional and national perspective. So there is something for everyone. As we've mentioned, social media is a great way just to have that soft touch of what's going on. I've kind of moved away from Twitter X in many ways and have moved on to LinkedIn. And I found that space for me has become very much a professional place that you can really share and find out of what's going on, and been a real good support, both again on an international and a global perspective as well, which I'm really interested in. So, yes, it's just reaching out, and I'm sure that I can speak on behalf of all of the three of us on the call, to reach out and speak to ourselves even.
And if you notice a gap, start your own network. I'm sure there'll be other interested parties.
Yeah, you can never have too many.
I think that's a really valid point, Jordan, in as far as. As nurses, we're not shy in speaking up for our patients particularly. And back to my earlier point, the more that digital becomes part of that accepted and required patient care, the greater opportunity that people will have to speak up if they see a gap. And at times that's difficult, but when it's hanging off patient care, which I firmly believe that we're all in the job for, it becomes so much easier. So absolutely, if there is a gap, just go and fill it, because like I said earlier, you won't be the only one that's experiencing that challenge or that gap. So there'll be somebody out there that either wants to work with you to fill it, or there'll be lots of people out there that want to help you and support you to sort it out.
We had so much great feedback and interest following the session, kind of from those who understand the frustrations and the reality of community nursing. Just wanted to ask, kind of finally, one by one, what do you think is next in terms of leading and driving change in this area, the next steps, if you like? Come to you first, Helen.
Well, I think it's again, super exciting space that growing on the impact of what we saw at Rewired in 2024, we're already having lots of interest of what is next. We know that, again, having the investment and the drive forward from the Q&I, again, looking at solutions to those problems that were identified by the majority of the nurses in the report. We know that, again, there's lots of work that's going on within community, with the PRSB, with Helen Bolsden's strategy from a CNIO perspective. I just think that it's a really exciting opportunity, and it's almost like watch this space, make sure that you do get involved and have a voice in there, because again, lots of the frustrations from the front line need to be driven right through those appropriate channels into that strategy as well. And by that way, we'll have a workforce that's fit for a future. We'll have patients that are receiving appropriate care using appropriate digital tools at the appropriate times, and also really drive forward on the things that are super exciting, like population health and the use of AI and smart ways of working and things like that. So I just think it's a really exciting place to be.
Absolutely, yeah. Shanice?
Yeah, it's really multifaceted, isn't it, how we continue to drive engagement in this field. So, of course, there's the national work that's happening, but it's really important that we've spoken a lot here today about empowering our nurses to access education, training, professional development, so they can continue to build on the 6 CNIOs we have out there in community organisations. You know, how we really utilise some of the Shared Decision Making Council and the blueprints and the futures platforms that Helen's spoken about, so that we can continue to share learning opportunities, to look at innovation, to really enhance the person-centered care that we're delivering out in the community. I just think it's I think since Rewired, actually, I felt incredibly excited about being a CNIO in a community organisation. I can't wait to see where the next 12 to 18 months takes us.
That's great. And final word to you, Ian, on kind of what's next?
Yeah, thank you. And I think I'm going to finish with a really simple one, really, and that's about the fact that if you're not understanding about digital, or you're scared even about getting involved in that sort of capacity, just bring it back to your patient care. Okay, it's what we talked about before. If you've got a gap in patient care, or indeed you've got something, an idea that you think, you know, actually technology could help in some way here, but I don't know how, reach out. To back to our earlier conversations and throughout the whole crux of today, I think we've identified so many opportunities for people to reach out and get support and get support from a shared collective group of people that understand, and that really there aren't, at the moment, there aren't any barriers to the workforce really being engaged and empowered to take on digital in the way that it should be. And I go back every time to, this is about helping you, all of our clinicians, deliver better patient care, which is why we all do the job that we do. So I'm absolutely, I feel really excited. I feel enthusiastic about the future of digital, particularly in the community. And I think, as Shanez said, let's look at the next 12, 18 months, I think will be pivotal in terms of where we get to. And I think with the likes of Helen and others and at national leadership levels, I think we'll find that even on the international stage soon, we'll be right at the top of our game, which is fabulous for both our clinical workforce and, most importantly, the patients that we deliver care to.
Fantastic. Yeah, great things to come. We've reached the end of the episode, I think. Brilliant discussion there and continuation of what was already a great session that took place at Rewired. Thank you very much to Helen, Shanez and Ian for joining me. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode on Digital Health Unplugged. Until then, take care. Thank you for listening to Digital Health Unplugged. We hope you enjoyed this episode. For more, follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favourite podcast platform. And to find out about our latest news and events, head to our website, digitalhealth.net.